We're working our way through this series called Forward, Claiming the Promises of God. When I was a kid, my grandma would take us out on Memorial Weekend, and we would go to the cemeteries, and we would visit cemeteries and go around and see all the little headstones and visit all the places that my grandma had kinfolk who were buried. And to be honest with you, it meant nothing to me except for strawberry ice cream afterwards. Because that's what I knew we were going to get because Grandpa was Grandpa. And we were going to get strawberry ice cream as memorial. So, you know, strawberries were around in season. I was just in it for that. But what Grandma was doing and trying to teach me, and probably my sister and cousins, whoever were with us, was that we should honor the people who have gone before us. We should remember who they were. We remember what they've done. We remember the impact that they've had on our lives, that the stones that we would see there that tell the story of a life that was lived, and that life that was lived that is now past had an impact on us, and we should remember that. The headstones for her were a trigger point for her to remember what had taken place in her life. It was a memorial. She could go back to that place and have a memory of that person that stone represented. And I think, to be honest with you, I don't know that our generation now does as well with those things as what previous generations have done in the past. We somehow tend to think that what is happening right now is more important than what's happened in the past. It's called recency bias. Like, we just have that. It's kind of part of who we are. We tend to not pause and reflect on the past, and rather we're just like either looking towards an unknown, unexpected future that we're either afraid of or blindly optimistic about. Like, you know, it's like we're just like afraid of the future, or we're like, it's going to be great. You know, I'm more of a blindly optimistic type fellow. But then there's other people who are like, I don't know what's going to happen and why I'm even here. This is crazy. But I think there's other people who tend to get stuck in the past. And are you stuck in the past? Do you know this guy? Uncle Rico. Uncle Rico was stuck in the past. He thought if he had just been put in the game, state championship all the way, he'd be playing professional football right now. Uncle Rico is stuck in the past. But then there's other people who are stuck in the past, and they can't get over their new reality. They're just focused on the future all the time, and they're never actually in the present. This is Marty McFly. These are really old movies, guys. I'm showing my age here. You know, like, we can't get over the fact that there's something always out there in the future, and then we're never actually present in the right now. I think there's a middle ground for all of it. For me, I'm more of the future-oriented person. I'm always thinking about the next thing. And because I'm thinking about the next thing, I don't think about this thing that's happening right here, right now, right in front of me. And so I've already lived through this moment this week. I've already done this because I've already planned this out. I know how this is going to go. I've already planned it. I'm being honest with you right now. Like, I've already lived through this service. I've moved on to the next one and the next one after that because I'm planning those and I'm writing those sermons, and that's where my head really is. I have to unwind and come back here come back, and that's why I don't remember what actually happens, because I'm so forward focused on something else, I can't remember the present or the past. Does that make sense? So how many of you understand what I'm talking about? Because you also live in the future, you think about what's coming next and never what's happening right now, and then you can't remember what happened then because you were focused on the future. I think there's a middle ground. I think there's a better way. We can go into the future with careful consideration while remembering our past and fully living in the present. That's my goal. I think that's when I wrote this sermon a while back. I'm remembering now that my goal for me is, let's be present. Just be present in the moment, not just physically, but mentally as well. So that's what the passage is about that we're going to share in today. capturing the poignance of the past, or actually of the present, and memorializing it so that when the future comes, we can actually remember what happened in the past. Does that make sense? Okay, because that was better stated than what was in my notes. This series is all about moving forward. That's the whole idea. We're moving forward. Got to think about the future. Let's go into the future. But you can move forward too fast, and then you lose out on the present, and you forget what happened in the past. You can be so far ahead in your head about the future that you completely forget about it. So I'm going to read the entirety of Joshua chapter 4 for you, and I'm not making any apologies about it because it's good. It's all good stuff, but there is some lengthiness to it. It's quite a bit of reading. So here's Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, remember, that's what we talked about last week. They actually made it across. We had the stepping stones thing. The Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. It's like, grab 12 guys who can pick up 12 stones from where the priests were standing with the Ark of the Covenant. We talked all about that last week. Most of you weren't here, so you have to go back and listen to that sermon. That was a joke, but also for real. There were so many empty seats last week. I probably should have recapped that sermon. I'm just now thinking of that. So they were holding the Ark of the Covenant, and it was to go before the rest of the people because God goes before us across the river. God goes before us when we take on new territory. And where those priests were standing, they were to pick up the stones. I brought in 12 big stones, not as big as what Joshua commanded them to pick up, because we'll find out in a minute, like, they had to put these boulders on their shoulders. Like, these were big. I just didn't want to carry those up the steps. I'll be honest with you. I grabbed 12 out of our little rock garden thing, which originally came from the river from a different sermon that I had done in the past. But so these are from Licking River originally, they're not as big as what Joshua had. So Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, this is verse 4, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, which is 12, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the river were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. That was pretty big rocks that they had, and they set them up so that their kids could see them in the future. They set up a memorial. And we have memorials around town, right? Like, we got veterans' memorials and 9/11 memorials. We have like the different memorials around our town. You go to Washington, D.C., there's lots of memorials there. A memorial is a signifier of something happening. Something happened either in that spot. Like, actually, you'll see these on the roadside, a little memorial with a cross where an accident occurred and somebody passed away. Something happened there. Let's remember what happened in this space. It's a memory serving the people. This is what God had done for us. Every time you see this memorial, tell the story about how God parted the waters of the Jordan and we could come across. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded them, and he took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. That was at the time of this writing. Probably not there now. Verse 10. For the priest bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And so they did it, just like Joshua told them to do. And then it says, the people passed over in haste. Yeah, that checks out. You get that done quickly. There's water waiting on you. Let's go across this river in haste. Verse 11, when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priest passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Now, just a word on that. So they were on the east side of the Jordan, and their promised land was on the west side of the Jordan, but 2.5 tribes wanted to stay on the east side. We talked about this a few weeks ago. They wanted to stay on the east side, and they did, but they had an agreement to send all their fighting men across the Jordan to fight for the rest of Israel to have their homeland. So that's what that was all about. 40,000 of them from those 2.5 tribes. Verse 14, on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. That's a collection on the promise that God gave Joshua that we talked about last week, that he would be exalted in all the sight of Israel. And they stood in awe of him, just as they stood in awe of Moses, because he said, just as I did for Moses, I'm going to do for you, was God's promise to Joshua all the days of his life. God promised Joshua that he would elevate him in the eyes of the people, and he would do for Joshua just what he did for Moses, and that's the completion of that promise. Verse 15. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed its banks just as before. So what's interesting is, if you recall last week, as soon as the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as they put their feet in the water, because that was like they had to go before the river dried up, as soon as they put their feet in the water, that's when it dries up. And it stayed dry until they actually left the bank. Once they came across, as soon as the soles of their feet reached the side of the bank that was previously dry, that's when the water came back. All in God's good timing. Verse 19, and we'll wrap up the reading here. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of the Jericho. And those 12 stones, I kept saying east-west. I was correct. The east side of the Jordan, west side of the Jordan, but the west side of the Jordan is the east side of Jericho, the city. So that's just to clarify that. Those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. That's a lot of reading. But they set up this memorial to remember what God had done. And what the cool thing is, like what happened to them at the Jordan was the same thing that had happened to their parents at the Red Sea. It's the same thing. This was a two-for-one memorial. 20 years later, 50 years later, they see these stones here. Dad, what's that mean? Why are there stones there? Well, this is where we came across the Jordan River and it was dry, just like Grandpa and Grandma did when we came across the Red Sea. It's the same thing, same thing. It helps them remember. Joshua created a spot where they could revisit for generations the memory of what God had done for them. Forward-focused, but thinking about the present of what happened right then, let's memorialize it so we can remember it in the future. We remember what happened in the future. Now, I think it's always a bit of a challenge to apply Old Testament scriptures to modern day things. Like, this isn't like a Jesus teaching so much. Like, what are we going to get out of this? So here's what I want us to consider for today. What are the stones of your story? What stones could you lift up out of the Jordan River of your life and make a memory or a memorial out of those stones so that you can remember God's goodness and faithfulness in your life? What are the stones of your story? And so I would suggest to you this: identify your stones. Identify your stones in your life, in your journey. What are the significant moments when God showed his faithfulness, when God showed grace to you, when God showed provision to you, like suddenly you had the thing exactly that you needed at the exact time you needed it? When has God shown that to you? That could be a high moment in your life, like when everything was going great, like, man, the birth of my child was just amazing, you know, when we got married, it was just fantastic, or when we won the lottery. Just kidding. Because that's usually worse for people in the end. But when we got the raise, whatever it is, like, what is that a high moment in your life where you and God were just getting along and things were going great? But also think about a low moment too. Maybe multiple times in your life where you were at absolute lowest. You'd hit rock bottom, literally. Times where you felt like it could not get any worse than this. Either there were decisions that you have made to get you down to that point, or decisions that other people have made to get you down to that point, but it could not possibly get any worse than the way it is right then. Those are part of your story too. Those are sometimes the places when God really shows up, is when we're at our worst. That's when we see the grace of God show up from time to time. In fact, I would venture to say that we see God more often in the dirt than on the mountaintop. He's willing to get dirty with us when we're at our low. We have this tool that we use for KDI. It's just a timeline where we have people write down all the times of their life and give like a, here's a medium point. Give 10 highlights and give 10 lowlights, like 10 lowest moments where God was there. What did you learn? 10 high when God was like right, just felt like you were just doing great with God. And then, and last week I was working through this tool with somebody. There's a woman down in Georgia, and she was in tears because she was telling me these low moments. She only gave me two or three, but she had 10. I think we all probably have 10. And she said, even though those low moments were the absolute worst moments of her life, she would never, ever want to live through them again. She wouldn't change a thing. Because she is who she is now because of those low moments. And she knows more about God now because of those low moments, because that's where she found God. That's where she found the goodness and graciousness of God through Jesus Christ. Because God has redeemed those low moments and made them something other than the low that they were. God has turned them into a strength for her because she knows the reality of the scripture: in my weakness, God is made strong. At my lowest point, that's when God showed up the biggest. When I could no longer be who I was, that's when God made me who he wanted me to be. Identify your stones. What stones are the markers for you where you can clearly say God was with you? And you would not be the same person now if you hadn't had that stone in your life. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up and take a stone. We've got the big ones here. I encourage you to take a small one. There's a lot of small ones. There's enough for everybody. Take a small stone. Identify what that stone means to you, whether it's a high note or a low note. And when you get home, maybe even write on it. Grab a Sharpie or something, write on that so that it represents something that you can remember when God was with you. Where was God with you? In the moment where the waters were flooding all throughout, everything looked lost, there's no way I'm crossing over this thing, and that's when God shows up. Let's remember that. Identify your stone. And then I'd say this, talk about your stone. One of the cool things about a memorial is it retells the story over and over. When I was with Grandma on those memorial trips, every year you hear the same story. The stories never change. We heard this one already, Grandma. You can tell the story over and over again. You go to Washington, D.C., you see all the memorials, you hear all the stories over and over again. The Israelites gathered 12 stones so that they could be reminded to tell the story over and over and over again to their kids, to their children's children, to their great-grandkids, and on and on. Your stone represents a story. Don't be afraid to share it. Tell your story. Tell the story about your stone. Your stone reveals the goodness and faithfulness of God in your life. Why not talk about that? Who might benefit from hearing about God's goodness in your life? That's all you're doing. You're not trying to get them saved or get them go to church or whatever. You're just telling a story about how God was good to you. Who is that person? Maybe it's your kids or your parents or a coworker or a friend. Somebody probably needs to hear some good news about God at some point. And maybe you can be the one to do it just because you have a memorial stone. Is there somebody that you could think of that could use to hear a story about God's faithfulness? I think it's just good news. We're just sharing good news with people who haven't heard it yet. So identify your stone, talk about your stone, and then build a memorial. Why not create something that you can go back to when life is more difficult than it is right now? You know what I mean? Let's go back to a place where things were a little bit easier, where there was a closer connection that I had with Christ at the time. I've done this with my own walk of faith. When I'm not feeling so close to Christ, or when my spiritual life is a little low, I think back to when it was a good time, when we were just like getting along well. I think back to those times when it was better, and what was I doing? What was I doing when I was feeling closer to Christ? I was praying more. I was reading more. I was probably on my phone less. I was surrounding myself with people who were encouraging me. Whatever those things are, I can go back, memorialize that. I can go back and relive it. Go do it again. Start up those practices again. Why not create that for yourself? I think these days there's lots of creative ways to create a memorial to God's goodness in your life, even if you don't have a stone. What if you created a little digital memorial to remind you of God's faithfulness? I think Facebook has become that to some extent. Like, people will post things just so it'll show up on their reminders. You know, I'm just putting this here. I see that from time to time. I'm just putting this here so in a year from now, Mark Zuckerberg will remind me that something good happened. Well, you can do that. Look through your phone and see where you have pictures that where you were doing great and you were feeling like this was a moment when God and I were doing great. Or maybe memorialize when God saw you through a difficult time. Build a memorial that you can revisit. This year we had our 5-year anniversary for our church, Engage Newark. 5 years. Hard to believe it's been 5 years. Also it feels like 15 sometimes. But also it feels like 2, because we had 3 years of COVID, you know, so it's like a weird thing. The fact that we're still around is amazing to me, so we remember it. We remember all the times that God has brought us through. February 15th, that's my alive day. It was the darkest day of my physical health, and yet the day that God saw me through, and now it's becoming a day that I can celebrate a milestone of being alive another year. We got to celebrate those milestones. Maybe people, we can take lessons from folks who have been through the darkness of addiction, and they celebrate their years and months being clean. Y'all do this really well. You do this really, really well. 6 months clean, 12 months clean, you know, whatever it is. We celebrate 6 days clean even. Like, we celebrate with you when you have those milestones. And so I've learned from that, from y'all. Let's remember the day I got clean. Let's remember the day God saw me through this difficult time. And let's celebrate these milestones. We celebrate the goodness of God in those milestones. And now, It's still February 15th for me. That whole season, of course, it's the seasonal affective disorder time of year, you know. So it's like it sucks anyway, February. But I have traditionally gotten really down and really low when those memories pop up. All those days and hours in the ICU, all those doctors looking at me like, probably not going to make it, you know, family all gathered around. All that stuff brings me down until I remember actually that was a day to celebrate, because that was the day I actually came alive. That's the day that I started on a new journey. So what is it for you? What is it for you? We have headstones. We have memorials. But what if you could memorialize something right now? A time when God's goodness and faithfulness became alive and real to you. It could be super positive and upbeat. Could be dark and lonely. February 15th, dark, lonely day. Surrounded by people, not really aware. All of the things that was happening that day. Now, I can memorialize it. I can grab a stone and say, that's the day that God's goodness was made real to me in a fashion that's indelible upon my heart. I mean, I God's goodness has been other times too. But what about you? You're going to grab a stone. I want everybody to grab a stone as we sing a song. And I want you to treat it as a holy moment. Set this moment apart. Make this stone. There's ordinary stones up here. There's nothing special about the stone until you make it special. Until you make it a memorial. Make this stone a memorial to what God has done in you and through you. And I don't want you to just blow forward into the future. Here we go. We're moving ahead in the future without remembering what God has done and accomplished in you in the past. So I'm going to invite the band to come up and play. As we sing the song together, I want you to take some time to come forward, grab the stone, and then in your heart start to build a memorial that God has for you. The goodness of God in your life. And I just want to take a second to say the opening chords of the closing song are not our dismissal for worship. It's not time to leave yet. I urge you to wait every Sunday. Wait just 3 or 4 more minutes as we sing the song and we provide a blessing for you to go out and take on the world. The song is your time to reflect. It's time to just consider and think about, what has God said to me in these moments? What am I going to do about these things in the future? Now, I know people have to leave and stuff. I just urge you to do it quietly, because some people are having a moment. Some people are experiencing something you might not be aware of, and you need to be respectful and prayerful for them and lift them up in your prayers. And then just be together as a community until it's time for all of us at the appropriate time to leave together. So if you're ready, when you're ready to memorialize your stone, as we sing this song together, please come forward. God, we lift ourselves up to you. We know that these are just rocks, really. There's nothing special about these until you make them special. You make them special because you have done something in our hearts, in our lives, to make them special. And so we're going to grab this stone, we're going to lift it up to you, we're going to remember a moment in our lives when you have brought goodness and good news into our hearts. And we don't want that good news just to stay in our heart. We want everybody to see it. We want to be able to tell the story. We want to be able to memorialize it. We want to be able to celebrate those milestones of victory where you have brought your Son, your Holy Spirit, into our midst. And we remember exactly where we were when you showed up for us. Maybe somebody's going across the Jordan River right now. There's a floodplain. There's no way they're getting across to the other side. Lord, we ask that you help them to take that first step, and then you show up and you dry up the land and you provide a way, you make a way for them, and may they see your goodness even today, right now. Clear a path for them, and